Chapter 39. Come then, I declare, dearest, you lag like an unwilling schoolboy tonight, and there's no responsiveness in you. You are jealous of that poor lad, and it is quite absurd of you. Apostrophe apostrophe, I'll come. I'll come. Say no more, Harriet. Apostrophe and they crossed over the green. Wondering what they would do, the young shepherd left the hut, and doubled behind the belt of firs, intending to stand near the trilithon unperceived. But, in crossing the few yards of open ground he was for a moment exposed to view. Ah, I see him at last. Apostrophe apostrophe said the Duchess. See him. Apostrophe apostrophe said the Duke. Where? Apostrophe, by the devil's door. Don't you notice a figure there? Ah, my poor lover cousin, won't you catch it now? Apostrophe apostrophe and she laughed half pityingly. But what's the matter? Apostrophe she asked, turning to her husband. It is not he. Apostrophe apostrophe said the Duke hoarsely. It can't be he. Apostrophe, no, it is not he. It is too small for him. It is a boy. Apostrophe, ah, I thought so. Boy, come here. Apostrophe, the youthful shepherd advanced with apprehension. What are you doing here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, keeping sheep, your grace. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah, you know me. Do you keep sheep here every night? Apostrophe, off and on, my lord duke. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and what have you seen here tonight or last night? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired the Duchess. Any person waiting or walking about. Apostrophe, the boy was silent. He has seen nothing, apostrophe, interrupted her husband, his eyes so forbiddingly fixed on the boy, that they seemed to shine like points of fire. Come, let us go. The air is too keen to stand in long. Apostrophe, when they were gone the boy retreated to the hut and sheep, less fearful now than at first familiarity with the situation, having gradually overpowered his thoughts of the buried man. But he was not to be left alone long. When an interval had elapsed of about sufficient length for walking to and from Shackiferous Towers, there appeared from that direction the heavy form of the Duke. He now came alone. The nobleman, on his part, seemed to have eyes no less sharp than the boy's, for he instantly recognized the latter among the youths, and came straight towards him. Are you the shepherd lad I spoke to a short time ago? Apostrophe apostrophe, I be, my lord duke. Apostrophe apostrophe, now listen to me. Her grace asked you what you had seen this last night or two up here, and you made no reply. I now ask the same thing, and you need not be afraid to answer. Have you seen anything strange these nights you have been watching here? Apostrophe apostrophe, my lord duke, I be a poor heedless boy, and what I see I don't bear in mind. Apostrophe apostrophe, I ask you again, apostrophe said the duke, coming nearer, have you seen anything strange these nights you have been watching here? Apostrophe apostrophe, oh, my lord duke. I be but the under-shepherd boy, and my father he was but your humble grace's hedger, and my mother only the cinder woman in the backyard. I fall asleep when left alone, and I see nothing at all. Apostrophe apostrophe, the Duke grasped the boy by the shoulder, and, directly impending over him, stared down into his face. Did you see anything strange done here last night, I say? Apostrophe apostrophe, oh, my lord duke, have mercy, and don't stab me. Apostrophe apostrophe, cried the shepherd, falling on his knees. I have never seen you walking here, or riding here, or lying in wait for a man, or dragging a heavy load. Apostrophe apostrophe, H apostrophe M. Apostrophe apostrophe, said his interrogator, grimly, relaxing his hold. It is well to know that you have never seen those things. Now, which would you rather see me do those things now, or keep a secret all your life? Apostrophe apostrophe, keep a secret, my lord duke. Apostrophe apostrophe, sure you are able? Apostrophe apostrophe, oh, your grace, try me. Apostrophe apostrophe, very well. And now, how do you like sheep keeping? Apostrophe, not at all. is lonely work for them that think of spirits, and I'm badly used. I believe you. You are too young for it. I must do something to make you more comfortable. You shall change this mock frock for a real cloth jacket, and your thick boots for polished shoes. And you shall be taught what you have never yet heard of, and be put to school, and have bats and balls for the holidays, and be made a man of. But you must never say you have been a shepherd boy, and watched on the hills at night, for shepherd boys are not liked in good company. Trust me, my Lord Duke. The very moment you forget yourself, and speak of your shepherd days this year, next year, in school, out of school, or riding in your carriage 20 years hence, at that moment my help will be withdrawn, and smash down you come to shepherding forthwith. You have parents, I think you say? A widowed mother only, my Lord Duke. I'll provide for her, and make a comfortable woman of her, until you speak of what? Of my shepherd days, and what I saw here. Good. If you do speak of it? Smash down she comes to widowing forthwith. That's well, very well. But it's not enough. Come here. He took the boy across to the trilithon, and made him kneel down. Now, this was once a holy place, resumed the Duke. An altar stood here, erected to a venerable family of gods, who were known and talked of long before the god we know now. So that an oath sworn here is doubly an oath. Say this after me. All the host above angels and archangels, and principalities and powers punish me. May I be tormented wherever I am, in the house or in the garden, in the fields or in the roads, in church or in chapel, at home or abroad, on land or at sea. May I be afflicted in eating and in drinking, in growing up and in growing old, in living and dying, inwardly and outwardly, and for always, if I ever speak of my life as a shepherd boy, or of what I have seen done on this Marlberry Down. So be it, and so let it be. Amen and amen. Now kiss the stone. The trembling boy repeated the words, and kissed the stone, as desired. The Duke led him off by the hand. That night the junior shepherd slept in Shakifer's towers, and the next day he was sent away for tuition to a remote village. Thence he went to a preparatory establishment, and in due course to a public school. Fourth night, on a winter evening many years subsequent to the above-mentioned occurrences, the C.I. Devon shepherd sat in a well-furnished office in the north wing of Shakifer's Towers, in the guise of an ordinary educated man of business. He appeared at this time as a person of 38 or 40, though actually he was several years younger. A worn and restless glance of the eye now and then, when he lifted his head, to search for some letter or paper which had been mislaid, seemed to denote that his was not a mind so thoroughly at ease as his surroundings might have led an observer to expect. His pallor, too, was remarkable for a countryman. He was professedly engaged in writing, but he shaped not word. He had sat there only a few minutes, when, laying down his pen and pushing back his chair, he rested a hand uneasily on each of the chair arms and looked on the floor. Soon he arose and left the room. His course was along a passage which ended in a central octagonal hall. Crossing this, he knocked at a door. A faint, though deep, voice told him to come in. The room he entered was the library, and it was tenanted by a single person only, his patron the Duke. During this long interval of years the Duke had lost all his heaviness of build. He was, indeed, almost a skeleton. His white hair was thin, and his hands were nearly transparent. "Oh, Mills?" he murmured. "Sit down. What is it?" "Nothing new, Your Grace. Nobody to speak of has written, and nobody has called." "Ah, what then?" "You look concerned." "Old times have come to life, owing to something waking them." "Old times be cursed, which old times are they?" that Christmas week 22 years ago, when the late Duchess's cousin Frederick implored her to meet him on Marlberry Downs. I saw the meeting, it was just such a night as this, and I, as you know, saw more. She met him once, but not the second time. Mills, shall I recall some words to you, the words of an oath taken on that hill by a shepherd boy? It is unnecessary. He has strenuously kept that oath and promise. Since that night no sound of his shepherd life has crossed his lips even to yourself. But do you wish to hear more, or do you not, Your Grace? I wish to hear no more, said the Duke sullenly. Very well, let it be so. But a time seems coming, maybe quite near at hand, when, in spite of my lips, that episode will allow itself to go undivulged no longer. I wish to hear no more. Repeated the Duke. You need be under no fear of treachery from me, said the steward, somewhat bitterly. I am a man to whom you have been kind, no patron could have been kinder. You have clothed and educated me, have installed me here, and I am not unmindful. But what of it, has Your Grace gained much by my stanchness? I think not. There was great excitement about Captain Ogburn's disappearance, but I spoke not a word. And his body has never been found. For 22 years I have wondered what you did with him. Now I know. A circumstance that occurred this afternoon recalled the time to me most forcibly. To make it certain to myself that all was not a dream, I went up there with a spade. I searched, and saw enough to know that something decays there in a closed badger's hole. Mills, do you think the Duchess guessed? She never did, I am sure, to the day of her death. Did you leave all as you found it on the hill? I did. What made you think of going up there this particular afternoon? What Your Grace says you don't wish to be told. The Duke was silent, and the stillness of the evening was so marked that there reached their ears from the outer air the sound of a tolling bell. What is that bell tolling for? Asked the nobleman. For what I came to tell you of, Your Grace. You torment me, it is your way. Said the Duke querulously. Who's dead in the village? The oldest man, the old shepherd. Dead at last, how old is he? 94. And I am only 70. I have 24 years to the good. I served under that old man when I kept sheep on Marlberry Downs. And he was on the hill that second night when I first exchanged words with Your Grace. He was on the hill all the time, but I did not know he was there, nor did you. Said the Duke, starting up. Go on, I yield the point, you may tell. I heard this afternoon that he was at the point of death. It was that which set me thinking of that past time, and induced me to search on the hill for what I have told you. Coming back, I heard that he wished to see the vicar, to confess to him a secret he had kept for more than 20 years out of respect to my lord the Duke, something that he had seen committed on Marlberry Downs when returning to the flock on a December night 22 years ago. I have thought it over. He had left me in charge that evening, but he was in the habit of coming back suddenly, lest I should have fallen asleep. That night I saw nothing of him, though he had promised to return. He must have returned, and found reason to keep in hiding. It is all plain. The next thing is that the vicar went to him 2 hours ago. Further than that I have not heard. It is quite enough. I will see the vicar at daybreak tomorrow. What to do? Stop his tongue for 24 years till I am dead at 94, like the shepherd. apostrophe, apostrophe, your grace, while you impose silence on me, I will not speak, even though Nanek should pay the penalty. I promised to be yours, and I am yours. But is this persistence of any avail? Apostrophe, I'll stop his tongue, I say. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the Duke with some of his old rugged force. Now, you go home to bed, Mills, and leave me to manage him. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the interview ended, and the steward withdrew. The night, as he had said, was just such an one as the night of 22 years before, and the events of the evening destroyed in him all regard for the season as one of cheerfulness and goodwill. He went off to his own house on the further verge of the park, where he led a lonely life. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.